longtime folks in our church know Nate. Maybe you remember him. This tall? He wasn't quite that tall when I came. Well, you got probably about this tall, maybe? Somewhere around there? So, Nate's an instructor at the University of Nations with YWAM. I'm privileged to count him a friend. And he's also a man who loves God's word. And so, Nate, why don't you come up and share God's word with us this morning?
Good morning, everyone. Can you guys hear me okay? Awesome. Well, first off, thank you guys so much for allowing our family to be here. I did, actually, the first time I was at this church, I was probably only like this big. I was born on a Sunday, and that's the only reason we didn't come to church that Sunday is because I was born, but I'm pretty sure we were here the week after. But thank you for letting me share a little bit of our family's heart here this morning. For those of you that don't know, this is Tim and Barb, my parents here, and all of our family and all throughout there and stuff too are all visiting. So it's great to be here. My family and I, like Jeff said, are currently serving with the University of the Nations, which is a ministry of Youth with a Mission. And so just to clear some things up, we use a lot of acronyms at Youth with a Mission. So if you hear me refer to YWAM, it's Youth with a Mission. U of N, that's our University of the Nations. Specifically, I teach within the School of Biblical Studies, and so SBS. And so we get lazy with all these names, and so we use lots of acronyms. Another thing to clarify is, yes, we do claim to be missionaries living in Kona, Hawaii. I know that's Harriet came up to her. She was in the gym earlier. She's like, you know, nobody feels bad for you guys, right? Like, I know that's okay. We understand. It's, you know, it's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it. We don't. I mean, as remarkable as it may seem, we aren't at the beach every single day. You know, kind of a thing. We do stay pretty busy. Yes, there are beaches. Yes, the weather is pretty much perfect. Somebody, actually, our friend Dan, who's here today, is like, I hope you guys are happy. You brought all this hot weather. It's like, no, this is way hotter than it is in Hawaii. We're just never satisfied. We're very spoiled and wimpy when it comes to weather anymore. But we are there right now because God has called us there first and foremost. But the thing that we focus on, YWAM, the founder of YWAM, a guy named Lauren Cunningham, actually put into effect this new initiative that he's calling End Bible Poverty Now. And so I'll go into a little bit more about what that is about. But a number of years ago, he kind of just had this vision to see a Bible in every single language across the earth, not just in written form, but also in audio form. And I know that's something that the church has been working towards for years and years and years, but he wanted to set it as a goal to see it actually come to fruition by 2020, December of 2020. And he's calling it kind of Jesus' birthday present in 2020. We're saving up to get him a good one, kind of a thing. But our goal with YWAM is specifically with the Kona campus. There are YWAM campuses all over the world in every single country, just about hundreds of different smaller campuses. Kona is the largest campus. It's kind of the central hub where a lot of people get sent out. Missionaries go in and they train in different schools, and then they go out to different nations. And some of us just end up staying in Kona. So, but the YWAM Kona campus is working together with other Bible translation organizations all over the world to see a Bible available to every single man, woman, and child on this earth by the end of 2020. So it's a big thing. Just last year alone, they finished, I think, about 60 languages. A lot of those were in Papua New Guinea. And it was a big accomplishment, but we still have about 1,600 languages left in the world by 2020 to get done. So we've got about 3 years or so to see that done. Not only is YWAM Kona committed to seeing the Bible translated, we're also working with different organizations around the world to see the Bible made available to people that don't have access to it. I'm a little more old school. I like to carry this one around. You know, I like to actually have a physical copy. I do have it on my phone, but I don't do so well listening and reading to it on my phone. I like to have my hard copy, but not everybody in the world has access or can even read. Even if the Bible's been translated in their language, they might not be able to read in their language. The interesting thing is, though, it doesn't matter just about where you go in the world. You could go somewhere that's got mud huts or, you know, villages in the middle of nowhere, and they might not have a proper home or sanitation, but they've got smartphones, all right? And so We're not only working together to get printed Bibles translated, but we're also working with different translation organizations around the world to create these little, they're just the little SD cards that you can plug into your smartphone. And so you can go anywhere in the world. If someone's got a phone, you can put that card in their phone or their computer and just hit play, and it'll play the Bible in their language. Some of these other teams are bringing out just little tablets, looks like a little iPad or something like that, but it's big and chunky because it's solar powered and it's got big speakers on it. And so you can go wherever you're going on outreach. If you don't have those cards, if you don't have printed Bibles or they can't read, you can just set that solar powered tablet up, press play, and the people around there or in the village or the city, wherever you're at, can listen to the word in their own language. And so there's a lot of different things that we're working on. We're just trying to get the Bible out there and make it as available as possible. YWAM sends out thousands of short-term missionaries every single year. A lot of people get into YWAM first by going through what's called a discipleship training school, or DTS, because we don't want to say the whole thing. DTS is where students will go in and they will study for about 3 months. They will learn different topics, different things about God, different things about missions, stuff like that. And then after 3 months, they will go out into the field for about 2 or 3 months. And then after that time is done, a lot of them stay in those places where they were at for short term, and some come back for further training. The University of the Nations is not accredited in the States, but it is accredited internationally. And so we have different programs, associate's degrees, bachelor degrees, and more. And so it's not just biblical studies. People can study teaching, music, film, photography, all kinds of different degrees. But the whole goal is to take what you've learned and bring it out into the world and share the gospel wherever you're at. And so now that we're sending these teams out on these short-term missions trips, now we can send them with, okay, you know, we'll send you with 300 SD cards with the Bible in whatever language is spoken wherever you're going. So it's a really cool thing. It's a really exciting time to be alive. The Bible's more available than it's ever been. There's a greater need for the Bible, really, than there's ever been, and not just in other countries, but really in our own country, which I'll talk about a little bit today. But we really truly believe 2 Timothy 3:16 is kind of one of those verses I always go back to, but that all scripture is inspired by God and that it's useful for teaching and for reproof and for correction and for training in righteousness. And Paul says that with the word of God, everyone can do what God has called them to do. That's what equips us to do these works of righteousness. So the word of God is powerful, man. I love this book, this one specifically, because it has like my scribbles and my highlights and stuff like that in it. But I've never found so much life and so much purpose and so much joy and hope as when I'm really studying the scriptures. I mean, I grew up in a Christian home, grew up coming to church. I knew the Bible was part of my life. The Bible was part of our family. Until I sat down, though, and really studied it and discovered it on my own, I never realized how much life-giving power is in the word and is in the scriptures. And it's better than any self-help book or any, I mean, there's a lot of good commentaries and stuff like that out there, which is great, but there's nothing compared to the actual words of God. Amen? Amen. We always say amen. I always try to get amen. Sometimes I overdo it. But so where do we fit into all this? Where does our family specifically fit into all of this? Like I said, why, you know, a lot of these guys are going out into countries all over the world, and we're just kind of hanging out in Kona, so what do we do? Like I mentioned, YWAM sends thousands of short-term missionaries out of Kona every year, and these people are bringing these different SD cards or tablets or Bibles with them. Quickly, though, we realized as an organization that there was a problem. A lot of these teams are filled with younger people, hence youth with a mission. And the age ranges from, you know, from young to old. It's not just youth, but primarily it's kids. I say kids because I feel like I'm old now, but people that are like in 18, 19, maybe early 20s going out. And so the problem that we ran into, though, is during these 3 months of training, before these teams go out, they get different lectures on some biblical topics like the character of God and missions and your identity in Christ and worship and things like that. However, they have very little to almost no just straight solid biblical training. What's in the Bible? What does it say? What's the story of the Bible? Stuff like that. And so these teams will go out and they'll sit down with somebody that they're doing outreach with. They'll sit down and they'll plug in their solar power thing or whatever, and they'll play this Bible story, and they'll be sitting with somebody in a distant country, and they're both listening to a Bible story for the very first time. and the person that's living and has never seen a Bible hasn't heard this story, and yet someone from the States or from one of the Western countries who has access to the Word their entire lives haven't heard this story either. And we're realizing that a lot of these missionaries are being sent out with very little Bible training. And so these people who are hungry for the Word, they're excited, and they're like, yes, we have a Bible, now what do we do? And we're slightly unable to answer that question. And they'll ask some of these tough questions. Well, what does this part of the Bible mean? And a lot of us, or a lot of our missionaries are, well, I don't really know. And on top of that, we're not able to really truly build up leaders who can stay in that community and then teach the Bible. And so we realize quickly on that it's not enough to just drop Bibles off. We have to be able to be trained ourselves in the Word and then be able to train other people so that we're not just leaving them with this gift that they don't really know what to do with. So like I said, we realize it's a problem, and we're working hard to fix it, and that's kind of where my family and I come in. I work with the Bible department. David Hamilton is the leader of this End Bible Poverty Now movement throughout YWAM, and something that he admonished our campus with that's really stuck with me is before we end Bible poverty in the world, we have to end Bible poverty in our own lives. So we're bringing the good news that's in this book out to the world, but if we aren't studying it for ourselves, we're only going to be able to go so far. And so why are we? I have to ask myself, why are we as a Christian nation, a place where the Bible is so readily available, why are we so scripturally impoverished, it seems like? And why is it when the world comes to us with these tough questions, we don't always have the answers? I mean, that was one of the big reasons I went to Bible school, is because I was a pastor, and people would come to me with tough Bible questions, and I had to throw up my hands and surrender, like, I don't know, you know, go ask somebody that's been doing this longer than me. And it was embarrassing, you know, for one thing, but I just realized how unequipped I was to answer some of these tough questions. And I could go on and on about this topic because it's one that I talk about a lot, but the fact of the matter is most Christians today, and I know just as a majority, are just not reading their Bibles, at least not as much as we should be, myself included sometimes. And there are different studies out there and different facts and different numbers, but they all point to one simple fact, and it's just that Christians aren't reading their Bibles as much as we should be. And of course, there are multiple reasons for this. A big one is that a lot of churches don't focus on the Bible. A lot of churches will focus more on topics or maybe even putting on a good show or something like that, but the Bible is very scarce. That's why, if you guys are free on Sunday mornings, you guys should come to Sunday school here. I'm just going to give a little pitch for that, Jeff, because it is so great, and it's so unique, guys, to be in a church that takes time to just talk about the Word, listen to a speech, or listen to a teaching on the computer or on the screen, but then just ask questions about the Bible and get into the Bible. That is I'm telling you, I've been in a lot of churches over the years, and that is a rare thing in this country now, and I don't think that's the way it should be. I think we should be getting into the Word as the body of Christ. And a lot of times it just doesn't happen, unfortunately. And that's kind of how I was. That's why I wanted to go into Bible school, because I could teach a good topical sermon and I could get people riled up and I could, you know, tell funny jokes and stuff like that. And then I would just kind of sprinkle in scriptures just to make sure I had all my bases covered. But my teaching wasn't firmly founded in the Word of God, and so it was just kind of shaky. So now we're sending Christians out with Bibles and we're running into this issue that they don't even realize the power of what they have. So if you'd open up with me, see, I'm still kind of old school. I know I don't look like it, but I'm very, I'm more contemporary than I look. That's what I tell everybody. Or not contemporary, I'm more traditional than I look, maybe. But if you open up to Acts 8, verses 26 through 31, and that may or may not be up there on the screen, but like I said, I like to just read it out. Acts 8, 26 through 31. And so the church is spreading out. The apostles are going out with the Word of God. The day of Pentecost came, the Holy Spirit came, and now, just like Jesus said, the Word of God is going out from Jerusalem into Judea, into Samaria, and all the corners of the world. So we run into Philip here. In 8:26 of Acts, says, "Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road.' So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home, seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over to this chariot and join it.' So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. So my wife Jana and I were reading through the book of Acts just a while back, and she actually pointed this out to me. It was something I never realized. I mean, I'm a self-proclaimed Bible nerd. If I'm not reading the Bible, I'm reading a book on the Bible. If I'm watching something, I'm usually watching a documentary or a video or a teaching or something about the Bible. But no matter how often you study the Bible, there are still things that you don't catch every single time. That's what's amazing about it. My wife actually caught this when we were reading through this passage a while back, and she mentioned that the interesting thing here is the problem is not that this Ethiopian eunuch didn't have the word, it was just that he didn't understand it. And so I see kind of some striking similarities between the story with Philip and what's happening now with some of these short-term missions trips that YWAM is sending out and other missions organizations are sending out. I mean, you've got this guy who's from Ethiopia, and he's reading this book of Isaiah that was written by somebody hundreds of years earlier in a country that's about almost 1,600 miles away, and yet he has access to it. And so the distribution of some of these scriptures was widespread. He has the Bible, and yet he doesn't understand it, and that's the issue. And some of these similarities here, you know, we've got someone like Philip who sent out, and we are sending out missionaries into the world. Philip is sent out to spread the gospel, and these missionaries, we're running into people from faraway lands, and Philip meets somebody from faraway lands, and these, as young missionaries, we're sending people out with Bibles in their hands, and Philip runs into a guy with a Bible in his hand. But then in this situation, this guy asks Philip, "I don't understand what's going on in here." And Philip's able to answer his questions, and sometimes we're stuck in this spot. Maybe even as a missionary in your own hometown, or in my hometown as I've run into, I was stuck in a spot where I didn't have the answers. And now, of course, we're not always going to have all of the answers, but I think God calls us to be Bible literate, to be trained in his scriptures. That's right, Chris, I think that's such a great thing that they give you guys those 2 solid years of Bible and theology. It's just something a lot of times Christians will say, "Well, you don't have to be a great theologian to be a Christian." And my response to that always is like, "Well, yeah, but you should at least try," right? I mean, if this is God's letter or God's word to us, I mean, this is what we should be in every single day without, and it shouldn't be something that we have to work at or we have to roll our eyes, like, "Oh, I got to do my devotions before I eat breakfast," or whatever it is. This should be something that we do every single day with joy, because this is God speaking to us. And not only that, it has the answers for the questions that people are asking. And right now, as a nation and as in the church in America, we're excited about our faith, we're excited about Jesus, we're excited about going and sharing this gospel with people, and you know, we're ready, we're saying, "Here I am, God, send me." And then when we go out into the world and we're faced with some of these tough questions, these tough biblical questions, we're suddenly not as equipped as we should be. And again, I'm speaking for myself as well, because I was in that spot, and there are still times where I feel like I'm unequipped. John 4:24 says this, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." And that phrase, spirit and truth, is something that has just been popping up for us in this Bible department as we seek to train these missionaries in the Bible and in the Word before they go out into the mission field. There's a lot of focus nowadays on the Holy Spirit. I'm not here to say that's a bad thing, because it's not. We need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is real. He's in our lives. God gives them to us to do these things. But there's a lot of focus on the Holy Spirit. A lot of times we go out in the world and we want to see miracles and we want to hear prophecies and we want to see visions, and we have a large focus on the Spirit. But then when it comes to the truth that's in God's Word, we just kind of think, we'll leave that to the theologians. We'll leave that to people that study that kind of a thing. But the fact of the matter is, you can't have one without the other. You can't have these moves of the Spirit without having it being based in biblical truth. They go with each other. 2 Peter 1, verses 20 through 21 says this, "First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." And so Spirit and truth go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. If you want to see God's Spirit moving through you and reaching people in your community or in other nations, you've got to have that deeply rooted foundation in the Word of God. My wife and I, a number of years ago, spent about 4 months in Ukraine. And some of you guys know this. We've shared this here. And we didn't know any Ukrainian or any Russian. Everybody speaks Russian there. Only some actually speak Ukrainian. But we wanted to learn Russian, but we didn't have anybody to teach us. And so what we did is we just learned the alphabet first, which is almost totally backwards from the English alphabet. But we learned the alphabet, and from there we could read things. We couldn't necessarily have conversations with people, but at least we could read. And the more we read, the more we could eventually start to pick up on what people around us were saying. And I think the same thing happens with God. I think we want to hear God's word in our life. We want to hear his voice so badly, but the best way to do that is to just read his language like we have here. I mean, these are the words of God. If we want to hear God's voice in our lives and recognize it in our lives, if we learn his language first, then we're going to be able to pick up on it, and we're not going to get into some, you know, crazy stuff that sometimes happens out there that people claim is God speaking and moving, but it might not be. In Ephesians 6, Paul talks about the armor of God that equips us for our Christian ministry. We were talking about spiritual warfare today in Sunday school, and then Paul goes on to talk about this armor that we wear for spiritual warfare in Ephesians 6, and he says this at the end: take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so again, we see that the movement of the Holy Spirit and the word of God go hand in hand, that spirit and truth. The sword of the Spirit is this book. This is the word of God. When we're saved, we get the Holy Spirit in our lives, and he can work mightily in our lives, but if we're not in our Bibles, if we're not studying the word, then things are only going to go so far. But if you give the Holy Spirit his sword, and you train yourself in how to use that sword, things are going to move pretty powerfully in your lives and the lives of people around you. And so that's why we're so focused on staying in that community in Kona and training these missionaries. A lot of times when these students come back from their outreaches, they're able to take these second level schools, and that's what I teach in right now is the School of Biblical Studies. It's a 9-month program where students simply study the word. It's not commentaries, and they're allowed to use different dictionaries and stuff like that, but we just give them the tools to study God's word and discover God's word for themselves so that they can answer some of these tough questions. And we want them to have that combination, that powerful combination of the Spirit and truth in their lives. My wife is a coffee genius, and she actually roasts her own coffee. We roast coffee, which we got some in the back. I'll tell you a little more about that too. But I always try to use this illustration. When we are roasting coffee, we've got a drum that spins and the coffee beans are in there, and there are four flames underneath that drum. And while it's drumming it, or while it's spinning, those four flames heat up the coffee and roast it evenly. And if I only had one of those flames, or even just two of those flames turned on, only about half or maybe a quarter of my coffee is going to turn out okay. Now I'm going to have, you know, a little bit, like 25% of it is going to be sellable and drinkable, but the rest is either just going to be not roasted at all, or it's going to be too roasted, it's not going to be great. And I think that's how it is with the Spirit and truth in our lives. If we could just focus on the Holy Spirit in our lives and wanting to hear from the voice of God and just kind of focus in that one area, we're going to bear fruit. It's going to be good, but a lot of the stuff and a lot of the time and energy that we're spending is just going to be spent if we don't couple that with our study of the Word of God. And that's when we're going to have all the burners lit and we're really going to see God move through our lives. You know, we call this our sword. You guys, I just remember at camp we would do sword drills, you know, open up your Bible the fastest to the passage that they said. I lost at one of those competitions a while back. I was really embarrassed. I mean, here I am, like, you know, studying the Bible and I lost at a sword drill, but you know, a sword in the hands of somebody that doesn't know how to use it, however, can be either ineffective or dangerous. If you got somebody that you put a sword in their hand and they don't know how to use it, they're either not going to gain much ground for your team, or they might end up hurting their own teammates, which happens a lot with the Bible. If we don't understand and study the entire Bible, we may take one verse or two verses completely out of context and hurt other people that maybe disagree with us or don't see things the same way or just maybe don't understand it. But if we're trained well with our sword and we know how to use it and we know how it's made and we know how to effectively hold it and use it against the enemy, the real enemy, then we're going to gain a lot of ground for the kingdom of God. So my question just today in the title of the sermon was, how will they know? How will they understand the power of the word that they hold in their hands? When we're giving Bibles out to people all over the world, how are they going to know the power that they hold in their hands? And that's really, I think, where Jan and I come in, just even in a small part, is we, our goal at the University of the Nations is to train missionaries so that they're not going out into this battlefield without their sword, or at least without knowing how to use their sword. We want them to know how to use the Word of God. And so the SBS, the School of Biblical Studies, just kind of share a little bit more of what we're doing there. It's a 9-month program. I graduated from there a couple of years ago now. And during the program, you read through the Bible about 5 times total. Each book you read about 5 times, doing different things each time you read through the book. So they read it from start to finish. Students go have about 3 days of lecture a week on a normal week, about 3 to 4 hours of lecture each day. And they get kind of the historical background of each book. They understand, or at least as much as they can, who the book was written to, who wrote the book, what was going on in Israel's history during the time that it was written, or maybe the church, if it's something in the book of Acts, like an epistle, what's going on in that city, what's going on with that church. And so they get the historical background. And our goal really is to give these students not our opinion or interpretation of the Bible, but just focus solely on what this meant to the people that got it first, so that we can hopefully avoid some faulty theology and doctrines and stuff like that. But then once we understand what it meant to them that received this first, then we can really fully understand what it means for us today. And that's really the most important step of Bible study. I can read this book until I'm blue in the face, but if I don't use it to actually change my life and do something with it, then there's no point. And so we put a lot of effort into kind of just laying that foundation for what this actually means and what it meant to the people that received it first, but that we take that foundation to apply it to our lives now. What does this mean to me today? And people's lives are changed when they go through the Word of God. This book is so incredible. I personally just know 2 people, and I've heard lots of other stories, 2 people who, and it's very similar stories, are at the depth of drug addiction and just a terrible lifestyle, and somehow a Bible gets in their hands, and overnight, just because they read the Bible, their lives have been transformed. They've been freed from drug addiction. They've been freed from this terrible lifestyle overnight simply because they read the Bible or the Gospel of John or something like that. Imagine what happens when we have students that dedicate 9 months to studying the Bible. And this is no small feat. These guys have about 40 hours of homework outside of lecture a week. And so they just are nose deep in the Bible. We always joke around that you know who SBS students are in Kona because they're the only ones without a tan. Because they're at coffee shops, in the classroom, in the computer lab, studying all day long. And I have a story, but I won't share it right now just so we don't run out of time. But students, I mean, I had one student in particular that was just so incredible to see how his life changed this year. Coming in as a guy that didn't believe that the Bible was real, that truth was relative, that there wasn't any difference between the Bible and the Christian faith and any other religion. I think it took him about 2 weeks of just reading like Genesis and Exodus to realize that the Bible was truth. And it absolutely changed his life in a just dramatic way that nothing else could do except for the Word of God and the Spirit of God working together in his life. And so a major role in the School of Biblical Studies, what I spend most of my time doing, is preparing teachings and lectures, and also one-on-one discipleship with the students. We grade their homework, but it's never just like I sit down and tell them what they did wrong and what they could do better kind of a thing. We try to work with them through this. It's a really tough process. It's a huge workload, and so we do a lot of discipleship one-on-one with these students. Afterwards, a lot of these students, we have a team in India right now, actually, teaching pastors there. We have another team in Samoa who's leading a Bible school over there. And so we're really just trying to train and equip these guys to go out with the Bible and be able to teach it and then leave other pastors and teachers in those other countries that can kind of reproduce the process. Let's see here. I don't want to get you guys out of here too late. Like I mentioned, the campus, the YWAM campus, the University of the Nations campus, is huge, and there are teams going out all the time. So it's not just our School of Biblical Studies, but what we realize is a lot of these teams being sent out don't have the Bible training that our SBS students have. And so we've, as the Bible department, have made ourselves available. And so on top of studying and teaching with the SBS, I do a lot of teaching on campus. We hold lots of Bible overview courses. We do Bible study courses, how to study the Bible, how to apply it to your life. We do biblical worldview courses so that people kind of know how to approach some of these tough issues. And it's funny because every time I go through the Bible overview, where we just go from start to finish, this is the entire story of God's redemption redemptive plan, as we see in the scriptures. Every time I go through it, there's always a couple people like, I never realized that was in the Bible. Or I never realized that the Bible is connected all the way through. I just thought it was just kind of random stories. And so it's cool because we're seeing people with this energy and this passion to go out into the nations, and we're seeing them couple that with this sword of truth and with the Word of God. And we're seeing them now be able to be equipped with the Word of God and take that passion and that energy and effectively use it to advance the kingdom of God. While we spend a lot of time training people up who are being sent out, Jana and I always have kind of this heart, at least for short-term missions as well. So we're hopefully looking forward to be able to take some of these teams or maybe possibly lead some of these teams in the future. We have some very good friends of ours who are in a very safe but very unreached section of the Middle East, and we're hoping at some point we can go and meet them over there for maybe a short-term time and do some training there with some brand new believers and some other missionaries who are there. And you know, a big thing is our hearts have also been drawn to the actual people and community of Kona, Hawaii. A lot of times people will come to this YWAM campus, they'll stay there for 3 months, and then they'll leave without having much impact on the community there in Kona. And we really have fallen in love with the community of people in Hawaii. They're kind of tough nuts to crack sometimes because they're a little skeptical of why you're there, and you know what we're called Haoles. It's the white people there, and but once you can kind of get through there and they realize that you're there to serve them and love them and be part of their community, that's some of the most loving people. My dad, I know, got shocked because we have a big Samoan guy at our church named Manny, and Dad went in to shake his hand, and he just brought him in for a big hug because that's how things are. That's how we do in Hawaii. But we've been spending a lot of time just serving our local church as well. Jana leads worship there every once in a while and helps out with different worship teams. I've had the great privilege to be able to preach there every once in a while and teach a Bible overview class through our church. And so we realize that if we're going to end Bible poverty in the world, not only do we have to end it in our own lives, we have to just start with our own communities and teach the Bible in our communities and make sure that our own community has the powerful Word of God in their hands and know how to use it. And so we know that God's placed Kona on our hearts for a reason, and we've definitely been very grateful to be part of the Kona community. And so, as you guys can see, there's a lot going on with our lives right now. I mean, I've just kind of barely scratched the surface. God has a lot of things in store, I think, for us. I've been asked to help co-lead the school next year, and so I'll be stepping up and taking some more responsibilities, which I just love. I jump on any opportunity to teach the Bible because I'm a nerd. What's that? Yes, thank you. It's the interesting thing with YWAM, it's a worldwide organization, and there isn't a single paid staff member in all of YWAM. It's all completely 100% volunteer, from the guy that makes food on campus to the founder and leader, Lauren Cunningham, who's been doing this for over 40 years now. It's all, we all raise support to be there, and it doesn't make sense to a lot of people. You know, I tell them, oh yeah, I'm moving, I'm leaving a paid position, and I'm gonna go live in Hawaii. Like, oh, you must have a great job. I don't get paid, you know, necessarily for it. We raise support. And so that's how my family operates. We do live on support. That's one of the reasons I'm so thankful to be able to be here at Lolo, because I know this church has helped us with that, has supported us financially and through prayer. I know that it's just such a huge privilege to see us there as the missionaries of the month, and we know that there are people in Lolo praying for us, and it's a huge blessing. So thank you. If that is something that you are interested in, maybe connecting a little more with us, or maybe partnering with us through support, financial support, or through prayer support, if you just want to get on our newsletter, find out what's going on, that's something we would love to talk with you about. Or you can talk with my mom, Barb. She's a secretary next door. She's got some information about that as well. We would love to connect with you if that's something that God's laid on your heart. We also have our little table back there with our freshly roasted organic coffee. Like I said, my wife makes the most incredible coffee in the world. And so all the proceeds that go towards those coffee sales just go towards helping our family and the ministry that we're a part of, and making sure really that God's word can really be in the hands of everybody by the end of 2020, and that people would just more than just have the Bible in their hands, but would really understand the power that's in here. And we really want to see young missionaries be trained up with this passionate drive to know God through his word and to study his word for the rest of their lives, and then to go out and share that passion and that fire with the rest of the world. So thank you again for the umpteenth time. We are so thankful for this church. I hope you guys are at least a little bit encouraged. Keep doing what you're doing. Like I said, it's such a blessing to come in and just be around a church that is focused on the Bible and knowing God through the Word and seeing His kingdom push through this world through the power of His Word. So I'll say a prayer, and then I'll wrap it all up, for me at least. Lord, thank you so much for your word. We thank you that you've blessed us with this book, Lord. Not only did you do all these incredible things through history, Lord, you saw fit to have people write it down, and you inspired them to do so, and you saw fit to have this all compiled into one book, Lord. Just, it's an incredible blessing just to think that we have access to this right now, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you speak to us through your word. Thank you that you've given us your spirit to help us understand this, and to give us passion and to give us gifts and abilities to be able to go out and share your word most effectively. I pray, Lord, that you would bless this church for the blessing that it's been for us, Lord, for the blessing that I know they are to you and your kingdom and this community. God, be with them, and bless us the rest of this this Sunday, Lord. I pray that all that we do would be glorifying to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks. I'm going to have the praise team come up. We're going to closing song, and then we'll let you get out of here. But thank you, Nate. Appreciate it. And, you know, Nate and I have lunch tomorrow, so I'm sure I'm going to hear more. If there's more to tell, I'm sure I'll hear it. So, we're going to sing, close with a very familiar hymn. Why don't we all stand? We're going to do verses 1, 3, and 4. So Carl will skip verse 2 up there. This is such a wonderful hymn as we think about all that Christ has done for us. I think it's very appropriate to close our service with it. It is well with my soul.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul.
It is well. We thank you, Lord, that we could gather in your house to worship you. And we thank you for the reminder of the power of your Spirit and the power of your Word, and how your Spirit uses your Word to bring transformation to the life of every single person it touches. And so we come before you and we thank you, Lord, that you are in the process of changing us, that your Spirit, he is working his power in us through your Word, through the truths of who you are and what you have revealed to us, to bring life change to us, and that you want us to take that same Word in the power of that same Spirit into the lives of those around us as well. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.